Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. Today's guest meets all of those criteria. Genius, innovator, mover, and shaker, friend of mine, Jim Keating, is the founder, CEO, and chairman of the Keating Group, or TKG, as you may know it, or as I understand, it's probably going to be called in 2018, Keating. It is, or certainly may be, the fastest growing wholesale brokerage in the United States. In the last 12 to 13 years, they have gone from zero revenue to over $200 million in revenue. I am really happy to pass this conversation on to you. Jim pretty much just tells it like it is. He doesn't hold any punches back. He talks very frankly about the changes in the world that we live in, the changes in the industry that we operate in and within, and what agents need to do to succeed. So I really don't feel like I need to give a lot of introduction to this. Jim and I have known each other for a while. We've shared the stage keynoting Western Insurance Agents Association. By the way, we'll be doing that again in April. So for those of you who are members of WIAA, I'll encourage you to participate in that conference. We have also got to spend a little bit of time together since I've moved now down here to the Casita in Cave Creek, Arizona. Jim's office is in Phoenix, so we've it's been my pleasure to be able to spend a little bit of time with Jim in his very impressive organization. So I'm thrilled to pass this conversation on. And again, as always, we'll ask you if you know somebody who you think would be a terrific guest, let me know, michael@agencyrevolution.com. If you've got feedback on any of these conversations, michael@agencyrevolution.com. We'd love to hear from you. So now, without further ado, it's my honor to bring you into this conversation with Jim Keating. Jim Keating, hey, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michael. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited about this because you got a story to tell. So before I start asking you questions about what you know, let me ask you just to start with a little bit about what you do and who you are. I know you from, as I recall, we got to know each other when we perhaps shared the stage at keynoting the Washington Insurance Agents Association, or the Western Insurance Agents Association for all the Western states of the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
I talked about changes in consumer behavior, and what really stuck out in my mind was not only your story and how much the Keating organizations have grown, but also your commitment to technology. So before we dive into the really juicy stuff, I think the story is pretty juicy itself. So tell us a little bit about how you got to be where you are right now.
Okay, great. Started my career on the underwriting side, came out of that, got a law degree, and ended up back in the business. I made a decision. I preferred insurance over the law.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back in. I was running a wholesale operation, a regional operation for a large wholesaler. And then in 2004, some family reasons drew me back to Massachusetts, where I was born. So gave my employer 6 months' notice, sold my house, drove up to Boston with my old man, and started a company. I had $75,000 and not much more than that.
Yep.
We slowly built out our infrastructure. You fast forward to 2017, we'll cross $200 million this year. So the $75,000 is all we've used to essentially fund and build this company. And at this stage, we have a sizable national wholesaler. We've also built a technology platform that has spun off into its own company in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
And in conjunction with that, we're building an online sales tool called Exchange. So there are really three components to the organization. Within the primary production side of it, the wholesale side of it, we offer casualty, professional, transportation, workers' comp, and then the contract underwriting as well. So 11 offices around the country. We've never taken on any outside investors or debt. And we're trying to do things in an old school manner in a new school world.
Got it. Well, let's talk about that transition from old school to new school. My assessment, Jim, is that you're ahead of the curve on that, that we live in an industry that largely suffers from some of the old school practices, which worked really well in its day, but we're living in a new school world. So you've been in this space for a fairly long time. You've seen some changes, and you work with a lot of retail agents. What do you think? And you know, I think we'd probably would recognize that some retail agents, in fact, you know, probably quite a few, are feeling a little bit bedazzled or confused about all of the change in the world and how hard it is to keep up. What do you think? Well, what do you see as the important changes that have affected and are affecting the retail agency today?
My first thought to that is anyone who isn't a little bewildered or concerned or trying to figure this out hasn't been paying attention.
Okay, well said. So if you're a little bit bewildered, maybe that's a good sign.
I think it's healthy at this stage, because honestly, you know, you look at the amount of change that's happened in this business just in the past 5 years, and I would argue that you know, it's more change than really has occurred in the past 40 years combined.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only going to continue over the next 10 to 15 as we essentially evolve into the new definition of who we're going to be as an industry.
Yeah.
You know, really, the 20 years between 2010 and 2030, I think, will be defining years for our industry as we evolve from, you know, what had been the manner of transacting in a pretty secure and definite future, if you will, to a very disturbed and uncertain future where we're at. So long and short, technology is changing us in a way that is changing everything, and the way that we used to operate is no longer the way we can operate as we move forward.
So what do you think that picture looks like in 2030? And of course, you know, it may be 2030, it might be 2025, it might be before that, but what does that look and feel like for a retail agent?
I think that there's a couple of avenues that we will potentially see ourselves go down. There will be more consolidation at the carrier level. There's no question about that. So pressures to have volume that matter will be important. And, you know, the most important piece is how do you present yourself into the marketplace is bringing value. And the value equation has been changing from one of essentially coverage expertise and market placement to one of coverage expertise, market placement, and efficiency of deliverables. The biggest issue right now that's going to move from where we're at to where we will be in 15 years, 10 to 15 years,
mm-hmm.
is how do clients access the information we give them? How do they interact with us? And what are they looking for out of us to survive? So, you know, there's a lot of facets that have to be addressed, but the key one to be relevant and survive the next 15 years is to be able to deliver products to the clients in a manner that fits their wants and needs. I mean, in my opinion, in 15 years, there will be, you know, automated coverage analysis tools. There will be the ability to purchase pretty much any coverage piece you want without having to talk to a person. But I still deeply, deeply believe that the value proposition presented by the competent retail agent who really understands coverage exposures can sit down and talk to a client, work through and walk through the issues they're presented with, and then craft the right product for their needs will be every bit as relevant in 2030, if not more than today. It's just a matter of how do you get that information from the client to the carrier and then back to the client? And how do you as an agent position yourself to be an accessible point of sale?
All right. I want to break that down a little bit. So first question, you can be as brutal as you want to with the answer to this question. A lot of agents are starting to feel like, gosh, I didn't sign up for this. I just wanted to be an insurance agent. And now there's clearly seems to be a compelling need for them to add certain technologies to their skill set, and maybe adding to their skill set the just being comfortable with technology to begin with. So this is an opportunity for you to talk to the industry. What do you want to say to agents who are, quote unquote, not that comfortable with technology?
I would like to say that I understand your pain. I started this business in 94. I grew up around it. My father was in the business. And when I came into it, what attracted me to this business is the fact that you can build partnerships and relationships with people, and that trust and integrity still matter.
Right.
And those are the things that, you know, have been the underpinning of our existence as an industry. I still believe those things matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just quite simply, you know, the ability to transition your mind from the idea of technology not as a adversarial issue, but as an opportunity issue.
Got it.
We all know that the world's changing. The agents who will succeed in the next 15 years and survive after that point in time are the ones who adopt and adapt to the technology that helps enhance their ability to serve their clients. And that's how I look at it. People want things in a simpler, more cost-effective, and more efficient manner. And what we as an industry need to do is find ways to bring that to them. The expertise, the relationships, you know, that will all be modified and adjusted based on technology. But I still believe, at least for the foreseeable future, that we will be a core and integral component to that process.
All right.
So don't, the sky isn't falling, but it's changing. And we need to get ahead of this now because we are so far behind the curve when it comes to delivering efficiencies to the clients.
Okay, so being behind the curve, what do you think that means? Are you seeing, excuse me, competitive channels or competitors threatening the position of the independent insurance agent?
I personally don't see it that way.
Uh-huh.
I think that there will be pockets of the business which will go away from the independent agent because the nature of what people are looking to purchase lends itself to a commoditized online type of platform. But, there will, in my opinion, in my lifetime, there will be a definite and very serious need for qualified coverage insurance advisors. The way I look at it right now, we're really moving from being an agent or a broker, you know, and conceptually more towards an advisory role where, just like lawyers, you know, we really are tasked with looking at the business as it exists and analyzing the exposures and then fixing those. So in a lot of ways, it's no different. The way that we bring that product to the client and the way that we get information back to the carriers is going to change, and they just have to be ready to adapt and adopt that.
All right. So I want to get your insight on something you just said. In fact, I'm going to flip it around. You said the way we go to the client, I think. So what I'm going to ask you is, based on your experience, because I know you work with hundreds or probably thousands of retail agents in your network, you'll see some, I'm sure, who stand out from the crowd, who are probably not in the market chasing clients, but have somehow positioned themselves so that they're the obvious choice in the marketplace. And to some extent, clients chase them. What do you see? What do your very best agents do differently than the average agent?
Well, I think they're doing the things that have always mattered. You know, if I look at our best clients, people that I feel are best in class, you know, they are the best coverage experts and the best negotiators on behalf of their client, which again is what we've been doing, you know, for the past 100 years. They're also the ones who are starting to, you know, they've already woken up to the new reality, and they're making adjustments in the way that they're bringing information to and from the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that are going to be able to really thrive and grow in the next generation of what we do, in my opinion. Again, the core competencies are the core competencies. It's right. Market knowledge, it's carrier relationships, it's negotiating strength, and coverage competence. Those are the four core components, in my opinion, to a great insurance agent.
I'm going to reiterate those. Market knowledge. Carrier.
Who are the players?
Yeah.
And what do they do well?
Okay. Carrier relations.
Carrier relations, obviously, you know, goes deeper. Underwriter relationships, the ability to move an underwriter on a deal based on the specifics.
Okay.
The ability to make phone calls up the ladder when you need to get something done for a key client.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that still exist, and I think always will.
Yeah.
You know, until machines make all the decisions.
Okay. Negotiating skill.
Standard broker 101.
Yeah.
How do you take a deal and get it the best.
All right.
Outcome for your client.
I just identified three of your four cornerstones. What's the fourth one? I put you on the spot there. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
we'll come
we're
back.
Both drawing a blank now.
So I did have a question about. Again, observation based on the position you've got in the industry. Is it a reasonably accurate guess on my part to say that your most successful clients probably have a deep level of expertise in the niches in which they work? In other words, they truly are specialists, not just generalists.
You know, at the retail level, I'd say that we have a healthy mix of both.
Uh-huh.
Certainly at the wholesale level where we exist and operate, I think the days of the generalist will be long gone. In the next 15 years.
Got it.
I mean, that prediction has been made many, many times about many, many things in our industry. But I think from a long-term growth and strength perspective, expertise, especially at the MGA wholesale level, is a must. Opportunity certainly at the retail level to build affinity groups and to become, you know, a driver of opportunities because of your expertise.
Right.
Something that I would encourage everybody to focus on.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna flip this around a bit here, Jim, and ask you to talk about Keating. So you've gone from zero to north of 200 million. In 12 years, what do you attribute that success?
First thing I focused on was competency in brokering and bringing a better product to the marketplace, meaning making carriers happier by giving them more information and the ability to do what they do more efficiently. And then, obviously, the coverage expertise that comes back to the client through that. And then, you know, building a culture of excellence and you know, expecting that the standards will be met as we grow. And then the last major component was the technology. When I started the company in 2004, I looked around and realized that all the available systems that I saw, which were the available systems, were mediocre. So we started building our own, which was a massively expensive endeavor, both in terms of time and money. But what it did, especially after it started to really, and took us about 6 years to get it to the point where it was actually bringing a return. But once we got that there, then it brought the company to a higher level of efficiency, which made it easier for us to better serve our clients, and to get information to and from the marketplace more effectively.
So when you rave about technology, you're doing it from the standpoint of having had real life experience.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, for our listeners, I've had a glimpse at some of this technology.
The whole source technology.
Yeah. So yeah. And it is very impressive. So that was a fairly significant commitment for you to take.
It was massive. We were running sometimes 15% of revenue into that for years. Now as the company's grown, we can compress our expenses on a technology basis. But it was a massive investment. No question.
Okay. And obviously we're not going to turn to the retail part of the industry and encourage them to go create or build or program their own technologies. But I think the audience knows my bias on this, but they need to be comfortable with it and gain confidence in it. Now, Jim, you're somebody with a lot of skill, but my guess is, from what I know of you, you're not a programmer, engineer, coder.
Not furthest thing from it.
Furthest thing. Okay.
Math or science class after high school. So, you know, I'm an insurance guy who knows that technology has to be a part of what we do. I've worked in organizations that some were great in technology, and some were poor. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the ones who are better at technology are the ones who are thriving now.
We're seeing, related to that, Jim, we are seeing a new generation, if not take over the industry, they're at least, well, we know that as time rolls on, they will take over the industry.
Certainly will.
But they're also taking over the marketplace. They're owning businesses and making purchasing decisions. And we're in an industry with a very high average age of ownership. Sure. In the agencies that you work with, do you see that those who have attracted millennials effectively into their shop, that they might have a kind of a natural technological edge?
I think, you know, it's interesting you raise that question. You got a couple different types of agencies right now. You have the new ones that have, you know, formed in the past 5 years. And they aren't embracing technology. They are running towards it. I mean, it's one of these things where they want to be the ones leading the charge into the next generation. But then you have some established agencies, and in particular, I'm thinking of the ones where you know, they are looking to perpetuate internally,
right,
not sell.
Right.
And so the next generation is looking around and realizing, if I don't get this company up to another level in the next 5 to 10 years, I'm not going to have much to inherit long after that.
Right on.
So there is a major push for, you know, when I talk about that, I'm talking about the smart, very strategic thinking next generation of leaders. And we all know that, I mean, the new normal is that the kids who are coming into this business now, I can call them kids, I'm 46, but the folks who are coming into this business now, out of college,
right,
have grown up in a world where technology, their world revolves around technology. So for them to walk into, you know, the dinosaur of what we call our business from a technology perspective and not expect more, you know, it's silly to think that these folks aren't going to. You're either, as an organization, going to bring the technology that helps them succeed and grow, or they're going to find a company that does. Because they're smart enough and savvy enough to know that without that technology, their peers, who are the ones who are going to be making business decisions over the next 15, 20 years, aren't going to put up with, you know, receiving a lot of mail and paper policies. It's just not going to happen.
Got it.
So, you know, whether you're starting a new firm as a retailer and you know that you need to embrace it, or if you're in a legacy firm that has to transition, there's no question that this next generation, when I say that, I mean the folks between 20 and 35, 22 and 35, they're way ahead of most of us in this business. And in a lot of cases, I've seen them really aggressively and with difficulty pushing current leadership and ownership to get on board with it. So there's this natural friction, if you will, between, you know, the folks who are at that age and stage of their career where they're ready to, you know, ride it out and don't want to spend a lot of money in technology, and then you get the folks who know that if we don't, we're going to be toast. So it's an It's been interesting to watch that.
There's some tension there. So what would you say to the older, outgoing within the next 5 years agency principal who doesn't want to learn new skills, doesn't want to make a lot of change, and maybe doesn't want to, from their point of view, decrease their margins by making technology investments? What do they need to hear?
Well, if you're looking at exiting within the next 5 to 10 years, I would say maximize revenues and profitability, because you should be able to survive, especially if you've been around a long time, have core clients. You know, it's the ones who want to be around after 2030 that are going to have to make some serious investments.
Yeah. All right. So I have one last question for you. All right. So this is my billboard question. So if you were going to slap a billboard on insurance highway and the industry's going by at 65 or 70 miles an hour, you don't get very many words, but you get a chance to say something that matters. What do you want to say to this industry?
Get ahead of technology or technology will run you over.
Okay. All right. Very good.
It's appropriate for a highway sign, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Jim, I think I'll be seeing you in a few weeks in Phoenix. And then I think we also share the stage again in California in a couple of months.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Look forward to that. All right. Thanks so much for sharing your story and your insights. We appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.